All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back to Talkin' Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking Season 4, Episode 3 of Shit's Creek, Asbestos Fest. And of course, as always, I'm not alone. I'm joined by someone who had to sell his prized Beanie Baby collection, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm traumatized.
Princess Diana didn't go for as much as you thought.
I mean, I was expecting them to get so much more money than they did, but it seems that no one cares about Beanie Babies. Who would have thought?
Especially if they don't have their tags on them. If you lose the TY tag, nothing.
Get rid of it. Did you ever collect Beanie Babies?
Of course I did. I am a product of the 90s. Of course I did.
That's horrendous. I never saw the appeal when I was younger. Never see the appeal now. I see why no one wants to buy them.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't collect them as in, like, I didn't collect them to then sell down the line. I bought them as toys because I was a child. I played with them. Yeah, I played with them. And my childhood
just really saggy teddies.
Okay. The way you just described Beanie Babies as being saggy, I'm feeling a certain sort of way about.
Incorrect. Am I wrong?
No. Okay. First of all, are teddies like stuffed animals? Is that what you call stuffed animals over there?
Yes.
Okay. No, you're wrong. They're not saggy. First of all, they're nice because they have those little beads in them, which I really liked. They're not saggy. You play with them. And also, if you want to chuck one at somebody, it's going to be a little bit more painful and like fun than like a stuffed animal would be. But no, I collected them. Of course I did. They were like a huge thing. But my childhood dog, every time I would get a new Beanie Baby, it was like he could sense it. And every single time he would hunt that one down and rip that TY tag right off of it immediately. It took no time at all. And then it would get like crunchy because he would like chew, you know, his slobber would get on the Beanie Baby. So then like the soft fur would get like crunchy. Anyway, I love my favorite. I still remember my favorite Beanie Baby. Stuart, would you like to take a guess as to which my favorite Beanie Baby was?
Princess Diana, the only Beanie Baby that I'm aware of.
I never had that one.
that was a
bear. I didn't like the bears. No, of course I collected the dogs. The dogs were my favorite ones. And I think I had two of Fetch the Golden Retriever. Just the best.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but I am surprised to hear that there were different types. I thought they were all bears. So the more you know.
How are you so just like, how do you not know anything about Beanie Babies? This is weird. Like, you were around in the 90s. Like, this was a huge craze. Did they not have this craze in the UK?
What can I say? We did have Beanie Babies in the UK. I had friends that had Beanie Babies. What can I say? I had taste as a kid. I'm just going
to
say it.
I can't wait for all the Beanie Baby lovers to just come out of the woodwork and like just rake you
come
over.
Come for
course.
Me. Yeah. Join the Johnny lovers. Like, everyone can get in line.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, it's such a small line in the episode, but it cracked me up so much because it was spot on that Jocelyn would collect Beanie Babies.
Of course. Of all characters, if you were to say to me who is going to collect Beanie Babies, Jocelyn would be my first answer.
Twyla would be my second answer. But good Jocelyn, job, definitely. Yeah. Well, if you, first of all, subscribe to us everywhere, talking shit for more Beanie Baby talk. Watch us on YouTube.
Insightful.
Stuart, what did you think of Asbestos Fest?
That was a good episode. Another not quite up to the standards of last week's. I think this is like getting back into it. I think you can't go from like a massively brilliant episode and just like, I don't think every single one can be like a total banger, but this was a really good episode, and I think it probably ended on hands down the funniest scene I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good compromise in my books.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun one. I personally think two of the storylines are really strong and the other one is just okay. Like, it's not bad, but I think two of them are really funny and really good. And the other one is like, okay, it's there.
Yeah, I'll take it.
So, all right, well, let's do a quick little recap here at the top of Asbestos Fest. Where to begin? Roland is in need of some additional income due to the shits, new bebé on the way. He approaches Stevie and Johnny about a job, which Johnny at first resists, but he comes around when Stevie mentions all the new amenities and things that the motel offers. Stevie is the one having to fulfill, so they need a third party here. Some youths have been shoplifting at Rose Apothecary. They go in with a charm and disarm tactic. They compliment David and inquire about additional sweatshirt sizes with Patrick, while the other two steal merchandise. Thankfully,
you little shits.
Alexis used to do this all the time in the Hamptons, and so she recognizes the scheme and is able to put an end to it. Now to the main event that we've all been waiting for. Jocelyn is putting on Asbestos Fest, a fundraiser to help remove asbestos from the town's buildings. Moira is supposed to be the headliner, but can't decide between Shoes Glorious Shoes, the Imelda Marcos story, Two Heads Are Better, the one woman Siamese twin play, and One Crazy Summer, the Patty Hearst story. She eventually lands on Patty Hearst, but gets cold feet when trying to recreate the 30-person ensemble act.
I think she could have done it. I'm just going to say, I think she could have done it.
David comes to the rescue and they perform The Number, aka a Christmas medley in the middle of summer. If this doesn't scare Patrick away, truly nothing will. That was our episode, Stuart.
So brilliant. I mean, you talk about Patrick, like at the end there, when Patrick is watching along and then Alexis is like, this happened every Christmas. And it was like, the smile he had was just so funny because it was like, I'm going to just enjoy this.
Yeah.
Because David throughout this episode was a bit much with the whole, I mean, we watched the episode earlier and I shouted at you then. How the hell did they know not realize that they were getting stolen from? I don't understand this.
It's a really small store. Like, it's incredibly small. It's not like they're, like, going off into the back room or something. No, it's just, I think, here's the thing. I totally believe David would be able to be swindled in this way, right? Someone comes in, they compliment his sweater. It's very easy to disarm him. Patrick is the one that's disappointing. Now, I like that the way in which he is not being duped is that he's actually doing business where it's like, oh, do you have other sizes? Can you check in the back? Like, he maybe not be present for this shoplifting that's happening. But also, you know what it is? Maybe, Stuart, because you'd think like, oh, they're taking inventory. Like, aren't they noticing things are going missing? I bet Patrick is like, I bet it's just David's family coming in and stealing things. Because we've already seen Moira and Alexis stealing things from the store. So maybe that's what Patrick thinks is happening, but it is kind of ridiculous that they don't catch on.
It's ridiculous. I used to work in retail even when I was a kid, and I was like watching everyone like a hawk, because in my first week we had one of the company's like security investigators turned up and was like started interrogating all of us because we were missing £10 from the end of the till at the end of the day.
Stop,
and it happened on the week that I joined, and I was like, well, I'm F.
Did you ever like catch someone shoplifting?
All the time. It was so funny. So I used to work in a stationery store. So like occasionally you'd get people, something that it was always rulers. Everyone was always stealing them. I don't know why, but they would always be stuck up people's sleeves.
Of all the things, okay, first of all, stealing from a stationery store, like what a nerdy place to steal something. Second of all, like it's like I just don't understand, like of all the, like, oh, I'm going to steal a pen. Like, ooh, I'm going to steal a ruler. Ooh. Like, what do you, first of all, who, okay, beyond the time that you're in grade school, Do people like own rulers? Do they use rulers? Unless you're like an architect or something. Like literally, what are you using a ruler for? Like get a measuring tape like an adult, you know?
I mean, just freehand it. Just like be cool. Like why are you measuring?
Be cool. Why be cool. Yes. Why do you care how many inches it is? Why do you care how many centimeters it is?
Yeah.
Someone cool.
Not everything has to be measured, Nark.
I don't understand. Okay. I never worked retail. I worked food service. So mm-hmm. I've never caught anyone. I never had a job where I would catch anyone stealing. Even if I did, I don't think I would say anything. Like, well, unless it was something in food, incredibly like, expensive or something.
Yeah.
Expensive like, or something.
For food and stuff, you're like, oh, well, I mean, like, that's an
essential. They're hungry.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, steal as much as you can from, like, proper supermarkets and things
well,
like
plus,
that. Big I mean, business. F them.
Exactly. First of all, exactly. When it's a corporation, I don't even care. I don't even care. Also, like, I don't know about you. Again, I worked in the food service industry. I never paid for food. Like, anytime people would go on lunch breaks, you're supposed to pay, like, and you get, like, 50% off. Not once did I spend my money on food for lunch. It was like, what do I want today? Let me go over to a Quiznos, make myself a sandwich. Oh, let me go make myself a salad. Let me make myself a pizza. Yeah, like, no, I never paid for food. Like, I actively stole constantly. I don't care. I'll admit it now.
I love the admissions of it. I love it.
I'm a 30-year-old woman. I don't care. 30-ish. What do I care? What are they going to do?
I mean, what are they going to do? Arrest you?
Yeah, come find me. No, I'm just saying, like, if people steal food, like, they gotta eat, and I don't care. Yeah. I also just don't know that I'm confrontational enough to ever, like, go up to someone and be like, did you just steal that? I saw you. Like, no, never.
There's something so empowering about it, because, like, in the moment, especially if it's, like, a kid that's stealing, like, they crumble so quickly. It's, like, very much, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so...
Did you make them cry?
Like, no. But, like, usually, the funniest one was when my manager just went up to some kid and, like, didn't even ask, just threw their hands up their sleeves and pulled out, like, a ton of rulers. I don't know why it was the thing. But they went flying everywhere. And she's like, get out of my store. And it's, like, the funniest thing ever.
That's so incredible. Good.
Yeah, it's empowering. I don't know. Most people tend to crumble when you confront them. But, again, this small stationers, part of a bigger company stationers, so still big corporation, so it's not actually that big of a deal, but yeah, it was
I don't know that I would ever get paid enough to care if someone shot, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if I'm making minimum wage, like I'm not gonna get like attacked or have someone yell at me. Like, no, that's what a security guard is for. You need someone to check catch shoplifters. Hire a security guard, not me.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same company that literally made us open the store even when the building above had fully flooded and we had water leaking through the light fixtures. And they were like, yeah,
that's
fine,
not a concern.
It. Yeah.
No, not a concern at all.
Who doesn't love capitalism?
Good God.
But yeah, steal from a big like conglomerate and a big company. Don't steal from a small little apothecary like that's being
selling
managed by
locally...
like, two very lovely people.
Yeah, and they're selling like locally sourced goods. Like this is, and it's expensive. Like, and I love this. This felt very modern, Stuart. That the thieves themselves are stealing like moisturizer, cleanser. Like, oh, they're gonna need to come back, or else their T zones are gonna be effed. Like,
stuff's expensive.
So funny. Skincare, especially in the last 10-ish years, I feel like skincare has blown up in such a way that it is incredibly expensive. If you're doing like a 17-step routine, you know, not me, but
17 steps.
I mean, I don't want to have leather face, so I do put on like SPF and stuff, but like in terms of the actual, you know what I do? I'll tell you right now, here's my skincare routine. You got your cleanser, slap that on your face, wash it off. Then you go in with a moisturizer. And then you call it a day. If you're wearing makeup, makeup remover before the cleanser, then the moisturizer, then you call it a day.
I mean, yeah, I was going to make a joke, but like pretty much, yeah, wash your face, moisturize, done, yeah. Job done.
CeraVe, highly recommend, great brand.
Who's
I think Lubriderm is the other one. Yeah, Lubriderm is the other one. Both of them are great brands. I don't know if they have those in Britain, but that's what I use. So
I love it that we're admonishing big corporations and then giving them a shout out 2 seconds later.
They're affordable at the very least. I'm not, you know, I'm just saying. I can't buy my local body milk, Stuart. I don't have an apothecary nearby.
I mean, I can understand why they're stealing from a small little apothecary that's like massively priced as it is, but just don't do it. It's not cool.
Yeah, and on top of that, they're just like hanging out outside the store. Like, this is very bold of them to not only steal from this place, but then also just hang out on the front steps. Like, I mean, I know the methy kid is gone, but I'm just saying, like, this is terrible. And I love that it's Alexis that is the one who's able. This is Alexis's strong suit, right? Like, it makes all the sense in the world that she'd be the one to catch on.
And I love the fact that she cites that it's not necessarily her history, like it's her friends who, like her klepto friends from the hills. Mm-hmm. Like it's always like someone that she knows. It's always like a connection that she has, and she's always the one that brings the like the street smarts to like. Because David is such an indoors kid, like he wouldn't be exposed to this kind of harsh reality. He wouldn't know to expect it, and then Patrick's just too nice.
Patrick is way too nice to be able to figure this out. And I also think he's a little distracted by the fact that David is like so enamored with the compliments that he refuses to kick, like tell these kids to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, all of them being out of touch with, you know, the youth when Alexis says the popo and fist pump. It's all bad.
It hurt because she's there and like she gets kudos and it's like, I knew she was too cool to work here, or like I thought she was too cool to work here, and she's like, I am too cool to work here, and then she absolutely flubs it by saying popo.
She does say popo. It's bad.
Oh, it's the kind of thing I would say, and it's so cringe. I hate myself.
Would you be able to get someone's wallet off of them without them realizing?
I play a lot of rogues in D&D, so I feel like I should, but I don't think I would have that skill set at all. I think I'd be such an absolute fumbler for it.
Yeah.
Would you? What with your fascination with like up close magic? Would you like have some sort of a?
Yeah, no, I'd be terrible at this. I'd be absolutely horrendous at this. Like, I would be so obvious. I think I don't know that I'm not very like cool. You know, like the word chill has like never been used to describe me. I just don't think I'm relaxed enough to be a rogue, you know?
Yeah, you gotta like go with the flow, I was gonna say. But like you've gotta match people's movements.
Yeah.
You can't be like clumsy and bumbling. I'm really kind of awkward sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So that's what's going on at Rose Apothecary. In other news, Roland needs additional income, and the way, can we just talk about the way in which he goes about this? I think on the plus side, right, if we're gonna like say what's good and what's bad about his approach, I think it's a good idea to go around the motel and be like, these are some improvements that you could make that I could help you with. Oh, there's a light bulb out in this over this room and over this door. Mm-hmm. There's a toilet backed up in this room, you know, whatever. Make a list and say how you can help. That, I think, plus, big thumbs up for me, for Roland. I think where he loses me is this whole, oh, you're going to love me, I know a guy, blah, 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 blah. Just say it's you. Just say it's you.
He loves a bit, Roland. And like, he loves it. He kind of, it's also like, I guess, to help his ego a little bit, because he is the mayor of the town. And it's probably not a good look for the mayor of the town to like, schlep it with the rest of us and work a job. It's like he's got to overcome that. And but yeah, he also just likes a bit. He likes being a bit of a goofball. It went on a bit too long, but I'm not gonna yell at Roland for it, because I was like, if Johnny went along with it, it would have been hilarious. I'm just gonna say, Johnny was the barrier to this not working.
I don't know. I got really annoyed with Roland when, after pestering Johnny finally agrees, like, because Stevie is tired of like, you know, carrying the bags to people's rooms, and like there are other things that she's not necessarily good at, and Johnny certainly isn't good at. I feel like Roland, in a handyman sort of capacity, makes a ton of sense. But then he comes in and is like, nah, I don't want to do that. Ah, that's not for me. Ah, that's not for me. Beggars can't be choosers, Roland. Like, you're the one who needs this job. They don't need you. Like, if they tell you to go change the sheets, go change the freaking sheets, my guy. Like, I was so annoyed with him by the end of the episode because he's just being Roland. And I don't know why I'm still annoyed with him this, you know, four seasons in, but I am. I'm actively annoyed with him this episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether I'm kind of like, I guess, numb to it a little bit because got to know Roland and I kind of am more accepting of his Roland-isms. I don't know. Maybe I'm becoming a bit Jocelyn-like in that I kind of just overlook all of those things and see the funny kind of side that they have, kind of what he's doing. I kind of wasn't that bothered by it. I recognize that he was being a doofus and that, like, he should have just done the work and things and shouldn't have been a pain in the ass. But equally, why couldn't Johnny do some of it?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like we need there's a whole conspiracy podcast that we could do on, does Johnny actually have a bad back? He uses this excuse so often. I frankly just don't believe it at this point.
It's just old man excuse. It's like you reach a certain age and you can cite a bad back and think you can get out of absolutely anything. I can't do jury duty. I've got a bad back. Like I can't give you a lift anywhere. I've got a bad back. Like, it's so overused by old guys. My dad used to try that shit with me, and I was like, no, rubbish.
My dad's the opposite. My dad pretends he doesn't have a bad back and does things he's not supposed to. I think it's either one of this end of the spectrum.
He's a saint by the sounds of it.
It's fine. but I just think, like, sure, I agree. There are certain things Johnny could be doing that he isn't. Yes. But I also just think there are things that need to get done around the motel that, like, neither Stevie nor Johnny are particularly good at. So, like, fixing things, like the plumbing issue, right? I don't know if Roland is a, I mean, I don't think he knows plumbing, but who knows? He seems like a handy enough guy.
Well, he'll know a guy. Like, he needs the
and he could probably get a good discount, too.
Yeah.
Which is good right? Like, good to have a person like that in your back pocket.
Yeah, like, totally good to have in the back pocket. I think it could totally kind of work in that role. I just kind of agree with him. It would be a bad luck for the mayor to do it. Just saying that.
Then maybe the mayor shouldn't be applying for this job.
But then, well, there is that point. But also, secondly, I would kind of vouch for, like, or would kind of say, who's actually going to recognize the mayor of Schitt's Creek?
Exactly. Anyone who's staying in a motel, are they really that familiar with the place? No, I've never known the mayor of any town I visited. Like,
I mean, no, he does kind of look like the guy in the sign that's like banging his sister, so
don't worry, it's his sister. So I don't know, what do you think of this as, like, now we've introduced another person into our duo of Stevie Johnny. Now we have Stevie Johnny Roland.
I kind of love it because Stevie butting heads with Roland, I think, is really good because I kind of see them as equal forces in terms of, like, Stevie's no tolerance for BS and Roland, who's constantly giving BS. I see nothing but, like, a mine of good comedy bits here with those two kind of together. Then throwing Johnny as being able to do, like, outlandish reactions to, like, stuff that between them they get up to, like, whether it's Roland causing a thing and Stevie shouting at him or something, I don't know. Like, I can see a lot of stuff kind of going here. And I really like that it brings Stevie and Roland together because we've not really had much of a reason for them to kind of have scenes together. And I also really freaking love the fact that it got Roland to admit that Johnny's his best friend. It's kind of sad, but it's also kind of sweet.
Yeah, I think I'm of two minds of it. Like, if we need to find a way to include Roland in the plot more, I like it as a device to do that. But also, I don't know that I needed more Roland in the plot. I think that's mainly what it is. I think I, you know what it is, Stuart? I prefer the Roland that we get to see when he is so in love with Jocelyn. Like, I think that are those are his, like, best, most endearing moments, is, like, when she tells him she's pregnant. Like, those moments are the best Roland moments. And so, like, I don't necessarily need more Roland if it's not going to be in that context. But I mean, I've seen this already. I know where this goes. I do think you're right in terms of having certain characters bouncing off of one another. Although I will say an underrated pairing that we had mentioned way back was Moira and Roland. And so maybe him being in closer proximity to her, just being in the motel in general, you know, that opens us up for more combinations of those characters. But yeah, it spices things up a little bit. You know, he's now a part of this. He's a, now they're a trio. That should be interesting. So we'll see where that goes.
I just like the way this kind of like little web of characters is kind of getting interwoven with each other. Like, it feels real and it feels really fleshed out. Like, it's a good amount of, like, I'm going to use the D&D analogy here, of like a good amount of NPCs with thorough backstories, and they feel like real characters because it makes sense that, like, Roland's about to have a baby, and he, I'm guessing as mayor, he doesn't really have, like, it's a prestigious title, but I don't necessarily think that he's, like, raking in the big bucks.
Not when you're the mayor of Schitt's Creek.
How much work it probably isn't. And then Jocelyn, who's on a teacher's salary. So it's like, of course they need more money. And so I think it totally makes sense for this kind of to work the way it is. And it's not kind of these awful sitcom things where someone is shoehorned into a role for a particular episode and then it's just overwritten. Like, it feels natural, it feels real for it to be done this way, and I like it. I like the fact that we're really building almost like an establishment of like history and a bit of a journey going on with this ensemble that is emerging, because it's now spread out. Like, I think we said really way back is that it starts out and it's just the family. It's Johnny, Moira, and then I've completely forgot the name, David and Alexis. I was like, Dan and Annie. And I was like, as if I know them. But yeah, like, it was those four. But now it's really spread and it has become this kind of like wider ensemble cast. And I love that because I just want to see more of everyone. Mm-hmm. I just wish the episodes were a bit longer. That's my thing as well.
Because it's a sitcom, you know.
Yeah. I want more though. I want to be in this
world.
Well,
most people are binging it. So it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, most people are, Jess. Most and people. I'm still angry about this because every time the credits hit, I listen to the entire song to try and get as much out of this as I can.
Yeah. Also,
I kind of think the outro music is a bit of a bop. But then it comes up and it's like, next episode, the little button. And I'm
you
like,
have to hit, no.
I could just lie. I could just lie.
I'd know. Maybe. I don't know.
The Jeep Celebration event is your chance to start a brand new adventure. And right now, well-qualified lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2025 Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe for $399 a month for 24 months with $3,758 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution and lease through Stellantis Financial. Extra charge for miles over 20,000. Includes 7,500 EV cap cost reduction. Not all customers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 3/31. Jeep is a registered trademark.
All right, it's time. We have to talk about Moira. We have to talk about Moira and these show options. I wrote down all three of them because I felt like it was very important to discuss all three options. Because they're all ridiculous. So Shoes, Glorious Shoes, the Imelda Marcos story. Stuart, are you familiar with this story?
Only because of Manila Luzon from Drag Race doing Imelda Marcos in Snatch Game. Other than that, I would have had no idea.
What season is that, do you know, of Drag Race?
Season 3. So
very early on. Okay. I definitely had forgotten about that because I had to Google who this person was. I was not familiar with Imelda Marcos. But the fact that she has, so basically, the long and the short of it, if people are unfamiliar, she's a Filipino female politician and a criminal. She was the first lady of the Philippines between the 60s and the 80s. And her husband basically, like, took so much money from the public. She had over 3,000 pairs of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think 3,000 pairs of shoes would fit in my house. Like, I don't understand. I own, like, I don't know, 6 pairs of shoes. Like, I just don't. Why does a person need this many pairs? How? I don't. 3,000? 3,000 of anything is crazy. But shoes? Like, shoes? What? Carrie Bradshaw is quaking right now. Like, how? Yeah. 3,000 pairs of shoes.
It is kind of crazy when you consider it. I know you could roughly do the math. That's like 8 years if you were to wear one pair every day. Like, what the heck?
And never wear them again. That's the thing. That's nuts. Because first of all, there's a time period where you're just breaking in the shoes. You know what I mean? Like, there's a break-in mm-hmm. period where you need to wear them in a little bit. Can I tell you something? This is going to make me sound so old. I don't really care. I'm at that stage in my life. I want my life to be easier, generally speaking, right? I'm going for comfort. I'm wearing a sweatshirt. My uniform is a sweatshirt and leggings. Like, wintertime, peak. Mwah. Sweatshirt and leggings, the best. My sneakers, what? I don't wear Crocs.
Okay, thank God. No. Okay, I was really worried about that.
No, I will never literally kill me if I ever wear Crocs. They're just so ugly. They're just so ugly. And I appreciate that people love them. They're just so ugly. Okay, no, the point is, my sneakers are a brand called Kizik. Have you heard of these, Stuart?
No. Are they like Skechers? They kind of sound like you're getting a Skechers vibe.
No, they're not Skechers. I mean, Skechers is another brand of shoe. No, they so the whole thing with Kizik is that they have this, like, the design of them is so that the heel, the, like, back part that goes above your heel, you literally can just step into the shoe. You don't have to use your hands at all. You just slide your foot in and the back just pops up over your heel. So you never have to worry about, like, bending down, because you put your fingers in the back and then you know what I mean? Do you have this problem? Just me.
No, because I'm still a teenager. I don't untie my shoes. I just kind of stuff my foot in and then wiggle it until the heel.
See,
kind of
comes off. I wanted to avoid that because I just remember... as a child, I always hurt my fingers when I had to do that. I don't know if I have flippers for feet or, like, what the situation is, but, like, it used to annoy me. Well, Kizik makes shoes now where you just slide your foot right on in. I love my Kizik. I love them so much. I never have to worry about shoelaces. Just slide them puppies on in. You're good to go.
Are we taking sponsorships you haven't told me about?
Really, and it's so funny because I own them. My husband now wears them as well because he loved them so much. And also, it was very funny when my in-laws visited, both of them have them too, which is how I realized it might be, like, an old person thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I highly recommend for people. I mean, it's also really good for people with, you know, older people with, like, disabilities. Obviously, you could just slide your foot right in, but it's great for lazy people like me. So all that to be said, I just spent so much time on Kizik. I don't understand owning 3,000 pairs of shoes. I actively own, like, less than 10 pairs. And most of them is because I live in a place that sees four seasons. So you kind of have to have, you know, your sandals, but also your winter boots. So mm-hmm. I don't get it, but that's who she is.
I've never understood the obsession with, like, many, many shoes. It seems pointless to me. And especially people that are really precious over shoes. I can imagine, like, if they're
touch
like
the ground.
A nice pair of heels or something that you wear out to, like, I don't know, like, parties or events or things
who
like that.
Who goes to those? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, important people. But, like, if you've got a pair like that, okay, yeah, covet those, keep them in the cupboard, like, make sure that they're precious and only kind of come out for special occasions. Mm-hmm. But, like, people that are precious over, like, daily wears, going, oh, don't scuff them. Oh, I can't, like, step in a puddle. So okay. Their shoes.
They touch the ground. That's their whole purpose. I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. I know there are people who love shoes. I'm just not one of them. Imelda Marcos was. So this was her first option. We just spent so much time on that. I do think she could have made this one work, though. Because, I mean, she probably wouldn't have wanted to. But, like, you could take donations of shoes from everyone in the town.
Could have done that. I was also thinking she could also, like, channel herself with her wigs. Like, just imagine instead of the wigs,
all the wigs.
The shoes.
Yes.
Bam.
Yes.
Done. No need to study.
Yes. I'm with you on that. Second option was two heads are better. The one woman Siamese twin play. I don't know how she would have done this. Like, is this like a Michael Scott with himself on his shoulder for a Halloween sort of thing? Like, how is she making this work?
See, I'm going to reference Drag Race again. This time Drag Race Canada with Pythia and wearing like another prosthetic head. It looked incredible to the point where she hit the runway and everyone was like, whoa, what the heck is going on? That's possibly how you can do it. I don't know how you're going to do that into a musical number, though, because I imagine it's quite difficult to get a prosthetic head to sing, unless it's like a ventriloquist act, in which case I'm totally here for that.
Okay,
yes. That could work.
Yeah, I think this is a good option if she has the like supplies. If she has the props,
yeah.
I think this one is one of the ones that works better than any of the others. And then we have the third option, which is the one that she originally is going to go with, which is One Crazy Summer, the Patty Hearst story. It is a machine gun ballet. Now, I had to Google this. I know you did as well, Stuart. This is an American story, but even still, I mean, I don't know things that happen in American history all the time. So I did Google it. I found there was a drunk history telling of this story, which I love the drunk history stuff. So I watched that. This is kind of wild, this whole story, where basically in the 70s, this woman named Patricia Hearst was from like a very well-off, well-known family. She was kidnapped in the 70s by the Symbionese Liberation Army. And then she basically decided to like join them. She was brainwashed a bit, joined them. And she was like joined them on a bank robbery, which is, I think, kind of the crux of the play that Moira would be putting on.
I mean, makes sense. What with it being a machine gun ballet?
Machine gun ballet.
I've never heard about this. I am curious, what happened to like kidnappings, like, you know, high profile kidnappings? They used to happen all the time.
They went out of style.
Yeah, they like totally went out of style. Those and bank robberies. I think this is a really of the time kind of like crime.
Right? I think it's too easy to get caught. There's just cameras everywhere. Like everyone has a Ring doorbell. There's security cameras everywhere. Everyone has a phone. Like I don't know how you get away with something like this nowadays.
I was about to for the bit to be like, ugh, modern life. Probably best that people aren't getting up to bank robberies like that.
I guess.
I'd never heard this story though. Wild story. Like, it's got everything. Like kidnapping, Stockholm syndrome, bank robberies, ballet. This could have been an absolute triumph of a performance. I loved that Johnny's compliment for when she did it last time was, what, 29 dead weights?
Was and Moira was the only one that mattered,
So funny, because it's like scathingly good review, like critic level review, but then also very sweet for Moira as well. Like, it's just a perfect little compliment.
It's incredible. And so it's supposed to be 30 people, but it's just Moira. And we find out Patty LuPone is the one who was playing Patty Hearst originally. And it's just, it's so good. But she had a bad shawarma at one point, so Moira was going to take over. Watching Moira practice this was just everything. I don't know. It was the 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, I just, you can listen to Moira read the phone book. It's so entertaining. Like, it's so ridiculous. Her getting on Jocelyn's case about it being like a rifle or something instead of a machine. It's a machine gun ballet. Like, it's incredible. Why does Gwen have a hunting rifle? You know, your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, there was a thought maybe because of like the hunting and things. I don't recall her being on the turkey shoot. So I'm just saying, Gwen is using the library to mask her IP address from the authorities. She has a hunting rifle. She's putting demands on Bob. Gwen is, I think, going to come out as being some big personality like further down the line. I think she's going to go full Kirstie Alley and Drop Dead Gorgeous, kind of like shooting off the top of like the hotel or something. I can see something wild happening with Gwen. I feel like they're foreshadowing a lot of weird stuff with her.
There's so much mystery around Gwen that like upon this rewatch is when I'm really noticing it. It's just all these like little comments. It's we don't often see Gwen. We hear like more about her.
Right?
It was the poker game and the cabin are the two that come to my mind.
She was absolutely delightful and really lovely. And yet elsewhere, she seems like an absolute fiend.
It's incredible. I want One Crazy Summer, the Gwen story. I want a supercut of everything Gwen has been up to through four seasons of this show. Just
Bob jogging into her life.
Yes.
And the two of them give it to me. Into the distance.
The Bob and Gwen totally spinoff.
Work. Yes.
Oh my god. I would eat that shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be like total Thelma and Louise vibes with those two, I imagine.
I could see them doing a, like, at the time, they could have had, like, a web series just of Bob and Gwen.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, that would have been, like, of the times, too, you know?
Is it too late to pitch stuff like this? Like, what is...
Get Dan Levy on the phone!
What is Bob up to? Exactly. Everyone's pitching films and, like, bringing it back. No. Spin-offs.
Yeah, that's we need the we spinoff. Need. We need the Bob and Gwen spinoff. So, but she's getting cold feet. And I thought it was really interesting, Stuart, that we see when Jocelyn, because Jocelyn is getting very frustrated. I loved her saying, I just want to slap you across the face. Just incredible. Jocelyn's getting frustrated because Moira will not commit to anything. And she can tell what's going on. And I like that Moira did admit to having cold feet to Jocelyn. Because I feel like in a past season, we may have had Moira like covering that up or just denying it outright. Yeah. I love this.
Yeah, it was nice to see Moira be a little vulnerable in this entire episode. And like she has the kind of like bit where she's depressingly sleeping in David's bed and then confides in him, which you would expect because those two kind of have that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. But to confide in Jocelyn and to admit that is just, it just shows the kind of growth of the, like that barrier being kind of down between them, which is always lovely. So good. I feel so bad for Jocelyn though, having to deal with this while being pregnant, while being married to Roland, while having to tell a children's choir that they only get one song dealing with them crying. But and especially the kids' choir, they cut it down to one song. How did they adapt? A Kylie Minogue medley. Brilliant, inspired. Those kids should have been on for two songs.
Yeah.
I bet it was good though.
Yeah.
Racy.
But Moira does have cold feet. And thankfully, David is there to kind of help her through this. He's like, oh, well, we could do the number. Gives very big, like, the routine vibes from Friends.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is this? Because they talk about it being inappropriate. And then David says he's going to get his hair straightener. So I feel like it's just like, you're like, what am I supposed to expect here?
But, okay. Now that I've seen it, what was the purpose of the hair straighteners? Like,
oh, his hair looks like it.
It is straightened, but like, why?
Because maybe they first started the Christmas medley in the days of like the pop punk era where you had the like the hair over one eye. Have you seen the TikToks where it's like an animal that has like a swoop of hair and it's like, tonight will be the night that I will fall for you. It gives that, you know.
Oh my god, David totally was an emo. Like, there's he
wears black all the time now. Like, he definitely was.
And we've seen, like, the old pictures and everything. Oh, it's so brilliant. I love the fact that he's willing to do that for Moira. It's the sweetest little gesture. And, of course, they have a little routine. And the freaking funniest thing is that not only is Alexis, like, loving it because she gets to kind of mock them and she gets to share this with Patrick and they get to have a joke, Johnny still laughs at the bits. Like, Johnny is hands down finds this actually really genuinely funny, which is, again, really sweet, but also hilarious to me because there's no way they haven't heard this like 15 times throughout their life of when they like used to perform it when they were kids. Brilliant.
Yeah, he's so supportive. It's adorable. Like he can't even help himself. And they, you know, they think they are the hottest shit around. They think this is incredible. It is so funny. It's so ham-fisted to be like, it's in the summer, but they're like, we'll have no asbestos by Christmas.
Oh, what a segue. Just professionals. Mm-hmm. Professionals. You have to admire it.
It's
are you
so
telling
good.
Me that this is not good jazz? No, because it's brilliant.
Of course not. Ding dong. Like, it's so good. It's so ridiculous. I love Moira throwing her hair over her shoulder like a scarf. It's just, it's everything. I love, one of my favorite things about this entire scene isn't even Moira and David. It's Alexis watching Patrick watch David. Mm-hmm. Like, because you've been there where you're like, I can't wait for someone else to witness this. And you only watch their reaction to the thing.
It's like that thing where you want to show someone a funny video. And there's that awful situation where you can show someone a funny video. It goes on for too long. It feels awkward. They don't laugh at the thing that you kind of like find funny. But when you show someone a funny video and they find it to be funnier than what you found it, perfect. And that gave me the same vibes.
Do you know what this is like? This is like when you send your significant other a TikTok and you're like, but you have to watch this right now. You have to watch it right now.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny.
Yeah. It's like those 4 a.m. messages of just like, I woke up and doom scrolled for a bit. Watch this.
Here you
and
go.
Then they at 4:30 go, I've done the same. Thank you.
Yeah. It's incredible. The ending is just, it's just everything. It's everything. I want to see them performing this. I want a flashback. I want a flashback of them performing this in their home.
But okay, I do, but I'm so glad that we got as much of it as what we did because I was so worried because, I mean, being a sitcom, being shortened, like, kind of like, is that it might be like, ding dong, credits.
Yeah.
But we actually got, like, what, 3 different cuts of, like, them jumping between, I'm happy for what we got, which was more than what I expected.
Yeah. It was just so good. It was just so good. It was everything. We got 2 Moira wigs, which we will be discussing in our wig watch. Whoa. Just an abundance of incredibleness this episode.
Yeah.
Are you ready to talk through some of our feedback that we got, Stuart? Because we got some. Yes. We got some feedback here.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
All right. Jared says, I'm not surprised that distraction technique worked with David, but I expect more of Patrick. And this is definitely too much stress on poor pregnant Jocelyn.
Totally agree. No notes. Patrick, it's going to take a slight ding on this because I expected more. Not LVP worthy. Well, I mean, not MVP worthy either.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's LVP worthy. I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of characters I think that could get LVP points this episode. I feel like last episode it was like tougher to pick. This episode it's like I could pick like 4 different people for LVPs. Like, not doing great job.
We'll get to that.
Aussie Jubes, what a fun name, says, I'm so excited I found this podcast. I feel like I've watched everything on Shits on the Web. And that the algorithm will allow me to find. And I tried searching again without feeling much hope yesterday. And your podcast showed up. I bought myself a bunch of shit memorabilia for Christmas, including the book. And now I can also listen to you guys while I rewatch episodes for probably the 13th time.
Wow.
That's a lot of times. I hated Roland in the first episode. I was actually physically disgusted by him. He did grow on me. And I think Jocelyn loving him is supposed to aid us in finding some redeeming qualities, according to the book. But that did not come for me until my rewatches. Also, I loved David on my first watch, but I find his facial expressions are too much for me now on rewatches. See, I love an over-the-top reaction, so I love them every single time.
Yeah.
But maybe on your 13th watch, it's just too much.
Yeah, when you know what to expect and you know that he is literally like putting it on too much,
yeah.
Maybe it is a bit too much.
On my first watch, I hated Alexis in season one. She wouldn't stop touching her hair and was just generally irritating to watch. Her irritating mannerisms calmed down from season two, and now on rewatches, I adore her from the first second. Let me just put something out there, Aussie Jubes. Maybe it was because of Mutt. Like, truly. Maybe it was Mutt's influence on Alexis that you were just like, I can't do it. Maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm.
I love any excuse to bring Mutt back up and just to shit on Mutt. It's been a while, hasn't it?
I will find any excuse, and it's so comforting to be home, you know? I didn't appreciate Johnny until my rewatches. So,
oh, interesting.
Maybe on a rewatch.
Maybe on my second watch. Yeah, everyone will like get off my back about Johnny.
There you go. We also got an. So thank you so much, Aussie Jubes. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the podcast. Yeah. We got an email from Rowan about. We're still not done talking about clotted cream. Forever.
It's been three podcasts.
I will never stop talking about it. Clotted cream is like if whipped cream and butter had a baby. I like that. Okay, that's fun.
Consistency wise, yes.
Yeah. And it is delightful.
Yes.
Scones are only dry if you're not eating them fresh. Fresh scones are wonderful, like buttermilk biscuits, but sweet. I doubt the Cafe Tropical scones are very fresh, though, unless Ivan is making them. Ivan probably does a killer scone. I love this idea. I do think Ivan should make scones. He should branch out a little bit.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say I've worked behind the desk of a lot of hotels, and I'm so glad no one ever died on my watch. Statistically, statistically, it must happen all the time. I think the best thing to do in that circumstance is to not treat it like a big deal. Most people won't be going to and from their rooms or looking out the window for the brief transfer period. And if someone is and asks about it, just be matter of fact and move on. Yeah. Yeah. See, yeah. You, Rowan. Yes, this is exactly right, Rowan.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same person who reviewed under the Skijarji, which is an old handle I don't use much anymore, but it's pronounced more or less Skijara and is the Norwegian word for magpie.
Ooh.
What is a magpie? Is that a food? No, it's a bird.
Bird? You don't have magpies in the US?
We do. I just didn't, you know. Oh my God, there's a little thing on Google. If you Google magpie, there's a little volume thingy and little birds come out of it and it makes the noise the bird makes. So you can find out what a magpie sounds like.
Amazing.
I love that.
Noises of magpies.
Now we know. Y'all are simply the best, Rowan. Oh, you're the best, Rowan. Thank you so much for continuing to bring up the clotted cream conversation because I will never be done with it. Never. And if you want to be cool like Rowan and leave us a 5-star review, like you totally can, and I'll probably butcher your name and then you'll have to correct me, but I'll try my best and I'll read every word you write. We also got an email from Erica. Hi, Justin Stewart. I love Asbestos Fest. As a 32-year-old, nothing is more relatable and funny than David calling the teenagers youths and being so flustered by them. I find teenagers absolutely terrifying, and yet, like Alexis, I also want them to think I'm cool. And this episode captures that so well in a hilarious way. Also, Alexis saying po-po and winking kills me every time.
Yeah.
The po-po.
Do teenagers scare you?
They don't scare me. I mostly just find them irritating.
Yeah. Like, right? I think I would avoid them. Like, I don't even want to go near them. Like, they.
I'm not looking to interact with them.
No, like, I don't want to deal with them at all. Like, too moody, too judgmental. Like, teenagers are the worst. I know what I was like when I was a teenager. I would have hated myself now. Yeah, no.
Can I just give a hot take? I think I was a perfectly fine teenager. Like, I feel like so many people are like, wait, you don't know. You didn't know what I was like. You didn't know.
I know
me.
What you're like now. And I'm just imagining it as a teenager.
I was just as loud.
But you were unbearable.
No, I would say I was an unbearable child, but oh. I think I hit my stride as a teenager, you know, not hit my stride, but like, I think I found it.
Were you like a really good kid though?
Of course I was. Yes.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You weren't a proper teenager.
Well, what do you mean a I was the age that you're supposed to be when you're a teenager.
You needed to rebel. You need to like tell people F off now and then.
No.
Nah. See, you were
can I tell you one of the
person
worst
in a teenager's body?
Yeah, I would say middle school me was like worse than like actual teenager me. Like by the time I got to high school, I was like, you know, whatever. But can I tell you something that I did that was really, really mean when I was in middle school? And I actually still feel like such regret about it to this day, even though I was like in sixth grade and an idiot, like most kids are that age. Mm-hmm. Me and one of my good friends made a list, and I don't remember. Just middle schoolers being little shitheads, I think, is the reason. And we made a list of everyone in our grade. I think we went like through the yearbook and we like talked shit about every single
person. You did a burn
person.
Book?
Did a burn, but it was like a burn spreadsheet, you know? Like it wasn't like
of course it was a spreadsheet.
And it was just like saying like mean things about them. But the worst part was, because I don't know, did we print it? Like, did we do it on a computer? I don't remember. But either way, my mom found it. And she, yeah, she did. And she was like, this is not nice. Like she, you know, basically mom guilted the shit out of me about it.
Was it a whole, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, yeah, of course it was. Of course it was, yeah.
I mean, you did deserve it. That's
disappointing my mom is always a good way to like have a core shameful memory is like whenever I disappoint my mom.
I mean, if that happened, no wonder you were a bit of a nerdy teenager that didn't rebel.
I never rebelled. I never did anything bad. In fact, I don't care. I'm going to say it. It's so embarrassing. So my like curfew, I think this is correct, but either way, when I was like 16, 17, my curfew was like 10 p.m. on a school night, right? I had a boyfriend when I was like 16, 17. He lived probably 5-ish minutes away from my house. 9:45 every time I'm like, we got to go. We got to go right now. I would be early for my curfew every single night.
I was really lucky. I didn't have a curfew. My parents were so trustworthy. Like,
you didn't have a curfew? They knew that.
Yeah, my parents were just like when I was a little kid, it was like be home before the streetlights, or as soon as the streetlights turn on,
yeah,
you're expected home kind of thing. Once I was a teenager, they were just like, yeah, as long as we know you're all right, yeah, go for it.
Wow. No,
mine was... they knew that I wasn't like...
You're like, this kid's a loser. He's not doing anything.
Yeah. Like, they know I'm not the coolest kid.
See, that's so funny because when I turned 18, on my 18th birthday, I went to the drive-ins with my boyfriend and a bunch of my friends. And I was like, I'm 18 now. I'm an adult. I don't have a curfew. I stayed out till 3 a.m. And I remember my mom being like so upset with me the next day. And I was like, but I don't have a curfew. I'm 18. And she was like, well, you could have told us.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I was just really like telling my parents. I was just like, yeah, we're going out. Gonna be back like whenever I'm safe and with friends. It's all good. I mean, like how much damage could it really
that's what I'm saying. Like, how much trouble can I really get in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I didn't even finish this email from Erica. Okay, second. This is like a really bad ADHD brain day for me. Can you tell? It's just I'm all over the place. Second, I think this is a great Jocelyn episode, and I really hope Stuart enjoyed that as much as I did. I think Jocelyn is one of the funniest characters and only gets better from here. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm.
Completely agree. Like, Jocelyn is so overlooked as being a fun character because she's such a supportive one. But she has these lines, like when she said that she wants to slap Moira, I was just so on board, but also hilarious, like found it hilarious.
Yeah. I want to slap you across the face.
The delivery is everything. It's so good.
Yeah. Lastly, I can never hear God Rest You Merry Gentlemen now without singing it that way with the dismay, may, may, may.
It's so good.
Oh, can't wait to hear more from you, Erica. Thank you so much, Erica, for writing in. And then we have one more comment from our YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribed, make sure you do it. Click the subscribe button.
Subscribe.
Do it. Do it. From Liz Whipper, 6604. As someone who had a surprise pregnancy at 39 years old, 10 years after my last child, typically you're a little further along before you take a test because you're not expecting it. So it's plausible that Jocelyn was very quick in the bathroom, minus the freakout time. When I took my test, it was positive the second I peed on it.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that was even a thing. I thought like it always took like minutes or something to like, you know,
Did you take the test while giving birth? That's the only way in which I can imagine it'd be that immediate.
I'm now picturing on the like the actual test itself, it was like, you're real fucking pregnant. Like, you're real far along.
The baby grabs it.
Oh my God. Oh, so good. Also, for the next fun thing, instead of waterboarding...
What has this podcast become?
I love that there is a comment that is very serious about, like, for the next fun thing, don't waterboard. But you should both talk in unrecognizable accents for that podcast. Could be fun. What do you think about that, Stuart? What do you think about that as an idea?
Not against it. Some people might say that mine is sometimes unrecognizable with some of the stuff that, say that you guys don't understand.
Well, that's because you're British. You know, it's the Americans that don't get it.
Terrible people. Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, playing in D&D, I love an accent. Love putting on an accent for characters and things. It's funny as hell.
Yeah, I just don't think Liz knows what she's asking for. Like, truly, you haven't heard me do accents, Liz, okay? I don't even know that I have a description for it, because it's a lot. I go hard. Maybe that's what it is. I commit. Even if it's not good, I'm committed. Maybe I should be committed.
Maybe we could do like short little bits. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do a whole episode unless I did like one that, I don't know, like a really boring accent.
I was just going to say, like, if it was a certain, like, if we're not trying to do an impression of, like, a character, yeah. I probably could stick to an accent because, like, we've both played D&D. I've stuck with an accent for an entire, like, 4-hour game. So certainly could do a podcast. But other people weigh in. Let us know if you like Liz's idea.
I'm going to say I like it more than waterboarding.
I definitely prefer it to waterboarding. Actually, I've been watching a show where someone gets waterboarded and it looks horrible. It looks horrible.
Yeah, it's torture, Jess.
It was to the point where the guy couldn't even go outside when it was raining. He was so traumatized.
Oh, rough.
Anyway, and then he didn't shower and people were like, he really smells. Anyway, moving on from that. That's all the feedback we have.
Did everyone write it in their spreadsheet about them?
This guy smells. Oh God. Don't forget to send in feedback. Always talking shit, you know, everywhere. That's where you can find us. Podcast.talkingshit also, if you want to send in an email. All right, let's get into our ratings here. We've got to talk about who is simply the best and who's a disgruntled pelican. Stuart, do you have strong feelings? Who is your simply the best this episode?
I felt like there was a couple of good candidates for it. Part of me wants to go one way, another bit wants to go another. I think I'm gonna go with David for helping Moira. I think I'm gonna go down that route.
Okay.
I think like offering to do the number, I think was quite sweet, kind of embarrassing as well. And he didn't really argue too much in doing it. Like, he wasn't persuaded to do it. I think that was quite good of him.
Okay. I'm going to go with... So I usually don't do this. I feel like I'm usually pretty logical in my picks and, like, my reasoning for my picks. I will say this is much more of a vibes pick than it is anything else. And it is Moira. Like, truly, she cracked me up so much the entire episode. Like, I know she's being ridiculous, requesting new posters because you want television's Moira Rose on the day of is horrible. Horrible.
Also, like a bit meta as well. Catherine O'Hara with the like her old headshot as well at the beginning. Yes. For that, that justifies it as well, I think.
And she's just so funny. I have to pick her this episode. She's so funny. She cracked me up so much. My other like shout out, my little honorable mention, I did consider briefly, was Alexis, because I love that she's the one that clocks the shoplifting. But yeah, I gotta go Moira here because she really just cracked me up in such a way. I can't pick anyone but her. Disgruntled Pelican time. I mean, I just, I don't care if people don't like it. I'm giving Roland, I just, he annoyed me so much. I hate the game of, oh, my friend, blah, blah, blah. Everyone knows it. It's not funny. It was went on too long. He doesn't even want to do any of the work they're proposing to him because it wouldn't look good if a mayor does. Shut up, Roland. He just really irritated me this episode. I don't know. I got a good hating into him this week. It, you know, oh, well, he's a disgruntled pelican for me.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yay!
I kind of like, as much as I want to defend him, he is like in this, he's a doofus and he absolutely earns it. I mean, I am tempted a little bit to give it to Johnny, but like, Johnny does some really sweet things in this episode. Nothing to the degree that Roland does that's bad. Yeah, Roland 100% is LVP this week.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, God, like, it's just the bit doesn't work for me. The bit does not work in any way, shape, or form of, oh, I have a friend, blah, 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 blah. It's you. It's always you.
Yeah, but I do still maintain that Johnny could have, like, helped with the situation. If he went along with it, it would have worked a little bit better.
Well, those are our points this week. It's time to get to a wig watch because we actually have one this week. And it's
finally
incredible. It's very exciting. We have 2 weeks. It's an embarrassment of riches. Two of them. Let's start with the first one. And it is during Moira's actual. if you're not watching us on YouTube, you have to, because the screenshot I grabbed is just incredible. This is Moira doing her rehearsal in David's room.
I just kind of love it. It's giving Fratelli, lady from the Goonies, like with the kind of like the cap situation. I don't know why there are loads of eyelets in it. Are they meant to be bullet holes from the machine gun?
Yes, absolutely. It's absolutely what it is.
So good. Her practicing from the mirror. It's just, I can see the scene in my head. It's playing now and I'm just laughing. It's ridiculously funny.
This is the only time that, like, a super dark wig has worked for me, for Moira. Like, oftentimes I'm like, why are you doing brunette? Like, it doesn't seem, it seems kind of silly and pointless. No, this I'm here for. I love this look. I think, I love the hat. I love everything about this. It's incredible. But it is so quickly upstaged by her actual performance outfit because of the, like, Cher-inspired, like, hair down to her butt crack. It's so good.
What I love about this is that the wig changes, but the hat doesn't.
Yeah.
She's still wearing the same hat. And the fact that, like you said earlier, she kind of, like, tosses it like a scarf over her shoulder when it talks about being cold. Genius! Catherine O'Hara is a goddess. She's so funny.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's everything. Of course, the outfit is black. Why wouldn't it be? I love the wig. And of course, she has to wear a 30-pound necklace to go along with it. Like, it's just, I love this. I love it. No notes.
No notes.
Yeah, she's good. All right. Well, Stuart, that means it's time to tier rank the episode. Now, if you're following along with us on YouTube, you'll see. We have the premiere was in Ew David, didn't get off to a great start, but that's okay because the second episode pregnancy test was in Hot Shit, the tippity top of the tier ranking.
Best episode ever.
Loved it. So far. Now we have Asbestos Fest. Do you have vibes, thoughts, where it should go?
Really good moments. Top tier comedy. Had a blip. What with like a slightly kind of weaker story, whereas the other one hit on all fronts. So I kind of want to think full bouquet. If you're thinking the same, maybe?
I am. I'm thinking full bouquet because I think the motel storyline with like Johnny, Roland, Stevie is fine. It definitely feels more place setting-y than anything
it's
else.
Setting up, yeah.
I think the shoplifting story is hilarious. I think all three of Patrick, David, and Alexis are killing it in those scenes. And I love the Asbestos Fest. I think the very end, I keep wanting to call it the routine. I know it's not the routine. The number is incredible. I love it so much. I definitely think full bouquet for this one, which is nice because we're evenly spread so far. Looking good.
I mean, I would like a bit of an uneven spread. I want everything up the top. Thank you.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah. Maybe eventually. We'll see. Who knows? Final season. I can hope for it. So that's our tier ranking. And that's the episode, Stuart.
We got through it, Jess. We got through it.
It only took just over an hour, you know.
After a couple of full starts that the viewers might not hear about, but I'll certainly tell them about.
Listen, I record too many podcasts. It's not my fault. I can't remember the intros for them. I'm going to have to start writing them down. That's the problem. Yeah, we spent a little bit too long talking about shoes. But, you know, people enjoyed it, I'm sure. Maybe.
Someone. I mean, if you're still here and you enjoyed it, you know what to do. 5-star review, and you'll get it read out on the pod.
Look at that segue.
Yeah. Oh, he's a professional.
Incredible. Stuart, do you want to hear the next episode's title?
Absolutely.
Season 4, episode 4, Girls' Night.
I'm loving it. I'm thinking painted nails, like a bit of gossiping.
Someone's bra in the freezer.
What?
You've never heard of this as a thing?
Bra in the freezer?
You've never heard of this as a thing?
No.
This is like a thing. Yeah.
Is it?
This is like a thing that was, I don't know if it actually happened often, but yeah, like at slumber parties, you would like, I think it was whoever fell asleep first. You're like, put their bra in the freezer. I don't know why. I've never
heard this in my life. Okay, well, if anyone has had that happen, right, and let us know.
Also, otherwise, do the hand in the water thing?
Yes. Hand in the water, yeah, because it makes people pee themselves.
Does that actually work, though?
I don't think it works. It's never happened when I've been around people that have tried it.
Also, like, why are you trying to make people pee? Mature.
Exactly. Why do you want the place in which you're sleeping to smell of piss? Cut it out, kids. This is why teenagers are the worst.
Yeah, youths.
Youths.
Yeah, youths. Yeah, girls' night. So who's going on a girls' night? I want to know. What do you think? What's going to happen on the girls' night?
I mean, I would imagine the girls, for the comedy aspect, I imagine that David might be there, like, tagging along. Maybe it's like an Allez-vous part 2, except this time he's shitting all the apothecary stuff. This could work.
Allez-vous part deux.
Deux.
Electric Boogaloo. Who knows? We'll see. That's next week's problem. Season 4, episode 4, Girls' Night. Anything else, Stuart? Anything else you want to tell the people about before we get the heck on out of here?
Can't think of anything. No.
Okay, great.
Just fine. Follow me on socials. Stuart Drinks Tea.
Stuart loves to drink tea.
I've run out, actually. I'll tell you that. Today, I actually ran out of tea.
Is this a state of emergency? Because it seems like
I have other varieties. I have decaf.
Didn't you get like a shit ton of tea for Christmas from your landlord?
Yeah, it's like different fruit teas and things like that.
Oh, it's not the regular tea.
No, it's not the regular tea, yeah. But I ran out. State of emergency. Red lights. Ah!
Oh, my God. What are you going to do?
Go out and buy some.
I mean,
sorry to give you the really obvious answer.
Simple fix. Just cry in a corner until someone brings some to me. You know where to find me. I'm also on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, which, you know, I'm really familiar with because I did the intro twice at the top of this podcast for that one. So go check that podcast out. And yeah, we'll be back next week talking about more Schitt's Creek. Until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
The Jeep Celebration event is your chance to start a brand new adventure. And right now, well-qualified lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2025 Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe for $399 a month for 24 months with $3,758 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution and lease through Stellantis Financial. Extra charge for miles over 20,000. Includes $7,500 EV cap cost reduction. Not all customers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 3/31. Jeep is a registered trademark.